Okay, well, it's definitely not hailing anymore, so.
Well, that's a plus. Who's really expecting hail in June?
God, not fucking me. Just chilling, just trying to record a podcast here, and all of a sudden...
bombarded with frozen ice.
Love it. Hi, guys.
Yes, welcome back to It's 2 a.m.
Oh, it's been a week since... I can't. I already did that joke before, so I'm not gonna...
Yeah, stop recycling jokes.
I will never stop recycling jokes.
So today's episode, we're going to be talking about everyone's favorite topic, Yu-Gi-Oh! I mean...
No, you're all excited for that.
I mean, if it's not everyone's favorite topic, it's definitely my favorite topic.
It's definitely one of our top five things to talk about, just in general.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, what's not to love about this show?
That's a great question. It doesn't follow any sort of logistical pattern.
Oh, wait, are you throwing out things not to love about the show?
I am. Also, it is an anime made for, you know, teen boys.
Yes.
But let's get into it.
Yeah, so let's just dive right in. For those who have never seen Yu-Gi-Oh! Before...
God, where do we even start? I mean, what do we even say that this show is about? Like, what is... like?
Oh, no, I've actually prepared this. I know.
Oh, good. Okay, go for it, Chad.
So, if you've never seen the show before... It centers around the main character, Yugi Moto, who is a very short teenage boy.
Already relatable.
Who finds this, or he doesn't even find it. He's given this because he loves games. He loves all types of games.
Sorry.
I mean, it does make him sound like, it makes him sound like a very dramatic homosexual. What is it? He loves games.
I mean, is he not? But go ahead.
We'll get there.
No, he's not gay, but yeah. Okay.
Sure he's
moving
not.
On.
Anyway, so Yugi's given this puzzle called the Millennium.
Puzzle box.
Yeah.
Puzzle
it's
box.
Called the Millennium Puzzle. And it's basically this upside down pyramid that no one has been, it's been like smashed into God knows how many pieces and no one's been able to put it back together. And then he does because he loves games.
Because he's the protagonist.
Yes. Which you can also tell by his hair.
His hair. Yep.
And in doing so, he unlocks the secrets of the Millennium Puzzle, which is a 1,000-year-old Egyptian pharaoh who resides within this puzzle. So now he walks around with it all the time around his neck. And
he unleashes an Egyptian, ancient Egyptian homosexual.
Now, yes, he is definitely a homosexual.
If you're like, what is Yu-Gi-Oh? You probably know it as the anime with all the ridiculous hair. Like, I know all anime has, like, pretty ridiculous hair, but Yu-Gi-Oh! I feel like takes the crown for, like, ridiculous hair.
Yeah, and as they've done more iterations, they've only gotten more and more ridiculous.
Oh, God, yes. Which we will not be getting into, but...
Yeah. We're just going to talk about the main Yu-Gi-Oh! Series, which is just called Yu-Gi-Oh!
No, it's called Duel Monsters.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's easier to just...
Know your lore, Chad.
I mean, it's just easier just to find it vis-a-vis Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, if you're gonna look it up.
Well, yes, but it is called Duel Monsters. Yeah. I just wanted to point that out. Okay, moving on.
Yes. so, after Yugi unlocks this Pharaoh and whatnot, they become friends and play duel monsters together. Because sometimes the Pharaoh will possess Yugi's body. Which, you know, it's fun, I guess, if you want to...
And he does physically grow taller when the Pharaoh is possessing him somehow.
Yeah, no one can explain that. He grows, like, a good, like, 2 feet, almost.
And his friends are just like, oh, that's just what Yugi does when he plays card games. He just fucking grows a foot.
Yeah, I feel like his friends at some point just think he might be crazy. Because he's just like, it wasn't so me. Dumb. It wasn't me. It was the Pharaoh. It's like, who's the Pharaoh, Yugi?
Okay, to be fair, though, he has the dumbest friends in the world. Like, he really picked some idiots.
It is true. We will definitely get into... You know, let's just do it now. Let's just get into the friends now. So there is Joey Wheeler.
Joey Wheeler is one of the greatest characters of all time, and you can fight me on that.
He has a Brooklyn accent for no reason.
No reason at all.
Because the show takes place in Japan. That is 1,000% canon. It is in Japan.
Well, so, okay, so just to clarify, we are going to be talking about the dubbed version, the 4Kids version, which is infinitely more iconic than the regular, you know, Japanese version.
Yeah, and if you want to know why, we will be talking about that, too, throughout this entire episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, 4Kids did a lot of great dubs because, I mean, they also did the Digimon dub.
Oh, God, yeah, so good. Although, did they? What was that then?
Yeah, I believe that was also 4Kids.
Was it? Okay, we'll have to fact check that. They definitely did the Pokemon. They definitely did the original Pokemon dub.
Which is the eh.
Yeah, but I mean, iconic to our childhood.
True. It's very true.
My question is, does Yu-Gi-Oh actually take place in Japan? Is it canonically Japan?
Yeah, they say that it's in Japan, like, multiple times.
Okay. All right. I think we've talked about this before. My theory on why they give Joey a Brooklyn accent is that I think in the Japanese version, he has, like, not an accent, but he speaks with, like a street dialect. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, like, his whole character is, like, a street punk. Like, I don't know, what would you call it? Like, a rapscallion, like...
Yeah, I think they're just called street punks. I don't know what, like, the Japanese slang term for it is, but... It's definitely a common trope within Japanese anime because it's in Yo-Yo Hakusho. It's in, if anyone watched, I don't know why you would be watching this, but JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I'm pretty sure it's in there. Like, it's like a common Japanese anime trope.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that in order to convey that about his character in the English version, they were like, oh, he's from Brooklyn.
Because that's the only way that Americans would understand that. They're like, oh, yeah. Brooklyn accent, those are kids from the street. I mean...
But, like, you know what I mean.
But to be fair, they're kind of right. Like, you're never thinking of someone with a Brooklyn accent as, like, your president.
Exactly. Right, so
although, that's... I would love to see that.
Same. But anyway, that's my theory on Joey's Brooklyn accent.
Actually, you know what I want to see? A like Asian president with a Brooklyn accent. That would be the funniest shit alive.
So you want Joey Wheeler for president?
Yes.
You want Wheeler 2020?
Yes. Absolutely.
Great. Well, let's get it started.
Campaigning.
Get that campaign started. I have no theory on why Bakura has a British accent. I think they just...
Oh, okay. I think his character... Now, interestingly enough, his character, I believe, is actually British, and he moved to Japan.
Wait, really?
Yeah, like, his family moved to Japan. I think that's his whole story arc.
Yeah, but his dad is like an archaeologist, but I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah.
So
them
I think
being from.
I think his dad, like, they're actually British. His dad is an archaeologist. They move around the world, and Japan is just like one of the places that they moved to recently.
Okay.
So
I might actually fact check that.
Yeah.
I know we're hashtag no fact checking, but I am sitting in front of my laptop currently.
So you're gonna fact check that one.
Yeah, I might. Anyway, going back to Yugi's friends, I feel like we don't need to talk about Tristan. Who cares?
I mean,
he's the worst.
All you need to know is Tristan is super tall and useless.
He's just the worst. He's got the worst hair. Like, in a show where people just have ridiculous hair, it's just a fucking, like, triangle. Like, I don't understand.
It is.
Anyway.
Oh, and then we can talk about my most hated friend of them all, Taya.
I was going to say, you can talk about Taya.
I hate Taya so
just
much.
Just go ahead.
let me lay it out for you. I'm about to lay into Taya. Taya is the absolute worst. She's their only female friend for some reason. But, and I mean, I don't hate on female characters just for the shits and giggles. I hate her character because she's so annoying. Anytime they do anything, she's just shouting about, like, friendship, we're friends. It's like, we know you're friends. They have been friends with you for a while. You acknowledge each other as friends. Why do you have to constantly say it? Like, just shut up. Just shut up and let what's happening happen. Like, if you want to say something inspiring, do that. Don't just shout, like, we're friends. Friendship can overcome everything. It's like, no, it can't. Someone has just been shot. What are you talking? Are you going to pull the bullet out with friendship, Taya? Is that what you're going to do? She's the worst.
My favorite thing about Taya is that her aspirations are to become a dancer.
I think there was one episode where her and Yugi went to, like, a arcade and they played, like, DDR or something.
Oh, yeah. No, she goes on a date with Yami, and they play DDR.
Who's a full-on homosexual? I'm just like, girl, what are you trying to do? Like, I think she's been, her and Yugi have, like, this weird thing where I'm like, I guess they're supposed to be romantic love interests or whatever, but I was never into it because it never made any sense because clearly Yugi has the hots for the Pharaoh who is possessing his body.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
no, it's my favorite love triangle, which is just that. So when they first set it up, it's that Yugi has a crush on Taya and Taya doesn't like him. And then the Pharaoh comes and then she gets a crush on the Pharaoh. But the Pharaoh is also gay. And then there's also the Yugi Pharaoh relationship. And it's just your classic, you know, Twilight-esque love triangle.
Yeah. Where Taya is irrelevant and needs to go.
Where Taya
is basically the Jacob of that love triangle who is just in the way.
Pretty much. I want to mention really quick, so I did actually Google it. Bakura is not canonically from England. It just says a transfer student, and then in parentheses, British in 4Kids portrayal.
Parentheses British.
Although I think you're right in saying that that's why they made it British because he was a transfer student. But anyway,
yeah, I think yeah.
Now that we've solved all the accents except for Pegasus's, but we'll get to that.
I don't know where his accent comes from, but I mean
he has the same accent as Catherine O'Hara in Schitt's Creek,
which is you have no idea where it's from.
They're from the same place.
It's foreign, but you're not sure where.
They went to the same acting school.
Yugi boy. Yes, so now that we've talked about Yugi's friends, we can... So, the whole premise of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that they play Duel Monsters, which is a card game that...
Which is a card game.
Which everyone knows about because it was big when the show came out, and it was...
It was.
Honestly, out of all of the TV shows that have card games, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the only one that makes sense because the card game actually does have rules and makes sense. Now, do they adhere to them within the show? No. Absolutely not.
There's just so many rules. Like...
They were literally just making up them up as they went along in the first, like, season. It was just like, you can't do that because the sky is, like, the sun is setting in the west. You're like, what?
Pretty much. It was pretty much just like, okay, whichever character needed to win or lose that episode, it would just fall in their favor.
Yeah. They would just do all kinds of crazy stuff. Oh, and I feel like we forgot the most insane aspect of it is the Shadow Realm.
Well, so we'll get to the Shadow Realm, but I think the most insane aspect of the game itself is that. So correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it that so you can get physically hurt playing dual monsters? But aren't they holograms?
Yes. Yes and yes.
Didn't Seto Kaiba develop the technology to make these holograms? Didn't Kaiba Corp, or was it Pegasus? No, Pegasus invented, but made it a game.
Yes, so Pegasus invented Duel Monsters, the game.
The game, which he got from ancient Egypt.
Yes.
Actual gods, anyway.
So Pegasus invented the game, and then Kaiba Corp invented the Duel Monsters hologram technology.
Which can actually physically harm you when you're playing the game.
Yes. How? It is never really explained. I think they just, like... I think... To add more drama to it, Kaiba probably added, like, all of these kind of, like, fans, wind machines, shock things. He was just like, you know what, I want the full immersive experience of playing Duel Monsters.
The thing is, if they had just, like, said, oh, it's because of magic, then that would have made more sense than, like, the hologram. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, they can't do that, so...
Although I think in the original comics, it's something about the Pharaoh's presence, like, the Pharaoh's spirit's presence that makes you able to get hurt, or that makes the monsters real. I don't know, I might be wrong.
Well, that's when they're playing, like, a shadow game, because they, like, manifest the monsters...
Right, but in the original comic, when the Pharaoh, like, shows up, that's, like, shadow games, everything is a shadow game then. Like, all the games they play are shadow games. Ah. So he, like, raises the stakes. But I'm pretty sure in the canon of the anime, they're just like, no, holograms.
Yeah, so, again, there's a lot of inconsistencies that don't make sense. But that's part of the fun.
It is part of the fun. And the thing is, I feel like the original manga, the original canon of it, actually does very well explain these things, but then it got translated into an anime, which then got translated by 4Kids, so it's just like, we're working off a lot of... It's, you know, it's like how the Bible got translated too many times.
So you, like, lost some of the context...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, with Yu-Gi-Oh, when they translated, like when 4Kids translated it, they translated it to for a younger audience because
it got very censored.
Yeah, because there are a lot of aspects of Yu-Gi-Oh where they censored it, like Shadow Games, for instance.
Yes.
When you lose, you die.
Yeah,
that is there. Those are high stakes. Like, it's win or die. But
yeah,
the
Shadow Realm, it was actually invented by 4Kids.
Yes.
Because in the original, you die. But in 4Kids, they're like, no, you just go to this place. called the Shadow Realm.
Where your spirit just wanders forever in agony, which I don't know which is worse. I think I would just rather die.
Than play a card game.
Than to play a card game where I could possibly die. Also, yeah. 4Kids edited out the guns because Kaiba and Pegasus's bodyguards have guns, but they edited them out. So if you watch the show, they'll sometimes just be like pointing at people.
It's so good.
It's so funny.
Oh my god, invisible guns. Oh my god, my favorite, well, one of my favorite censored things in the 4Kids version is that at one scene, Pegasus is drinking some wine and he says something about the finest fruit juice in the world.
So good. Ah, yes. Sparkling fruit juice.
Sparkling fruit juice, because it's like... It's like clearly like a red liquid.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love it. but yeah, so we talked about his friends. What we didn't talk about Bakura from school, because he kind of teeters in between friend and, you know,
friend and foe, yes.
But that's not entirely his fault.
Because he is also possessed.
Yeah, although he's, like, not really their friend, but he kind of just hangs out a lot. He's just kind of there.
It's very true, like, because, I mean, there's that popular line that we like to laugh about with, like, Bakura, and they're, like, when they go to Duelist Kingdom, and they're, like, Bakura, and they're, like, from school?
From school? It kills me every time. From school.
It's like, where else? Where else? Where, dude?
What other Bakuras do you know? That's what I want to know. Bakura from school is I don't know. I don't know if I can say he's my favorite character, but he is definitely top three for me. Both versions of him.
Yeah. I mean, if we're rating, like, if we're ranking the foes of the on the show, my favorite is obviously Kaiba. And then Kaiba, Merrick, and then Bakura.
Yeah. Well, so evil Bakura, as a villain, like, I love him as character. He's hysterical. But as a villain, he's just bad. He's just... What does he do?
He's just he's relentless because they have, like, expelled him so many times, but he never goes away. And I don't understand why. It's just, like, because Bakura has another... Because the Millennium Puzzle is one of these things called the Millennium Items, and there's 7 of them. And Bakura has another one called the Millennium Ring, which the spirit of, which, okay, this is the other confusing thing, is the spirit that possesses the Millennium Ring is also called Bakura. It's like an ancient thief from Egypt called Bakura or something.
First of all, that he, like, his whole claim to fame is that he's a thief.
Yes.
Like, not a murderer or a torturer or, like, no, a thief. He steals.
Yes. He's, like, the most infamous thief ever.
He steals. His name, I think at one point he says, like, he literally just says, oh, my name is also Bakura, or, like, you can call me Bakura. I don't know. It that is, like, really fishy. His whole backstory, I don't know.
Yeah. I've Googled it before just because I was very confused. And I
feel like I have also Googled it, but it led me to no clarity.
There is no clarity. The only thing that I know of that I recently discovered is that in the original anime and manga, Pegasus dies. That's the only thing.
Yes.
That's the only thing that I know that's definitive.
Yeah, he does. He does die.
Which is, you know, sad and fun at the same time. I mean, because Pegasus also has another Millennium item, which is the Millennium Eye.
The Millennium Eye, which Bakura takes.
Yeah, he just, like, rips his eye out.
Which I think is how he dies. I think he kills him by pulling out his Millennium Eye.
Yeah, I believe that is how he dies. It's just
pretty sure.
It's so ridiculous. Because it happens, supposedly, at the end of the Duelist Kingdom saga. Which, what's really funny is, did they, like, edit it? Is that, like, one of the other things they changed in the Four Kids version?
I don't remember how they got around that. I think, like, I want to say there's a scene where his bodyguards are, like, carrying him out, and they're just like, oh, he passed out.
He passed out from the trauma.
You just never hear about it again.
Yeah, but Pegasus does pop up at some other point in, like, a later season.
Does he, though?
I think he does.
I don't know. I think he's in that movie.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm remembering.
Yeah, I think he's in one of the weird movies. I don't think he ever comes up again, actually. I think he really does die.
Well, that happens.
Rip. What was I going to say about... Oh, my favorite scene. The ancient Egyptian laser beams.
That is really funny.
Because that is real. Also, in that scene, that whole scene is so good. Because Bakura comes in, reads Yu-Gi-Oh cards as tarot cards.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to... I don't know, get involved in a laser battle.
Laser beam battle, and then rips his eye out.
Then fully rips his eyeball out. So good.
Fun times with Yu-Gi-Oh! As you guys can tell, this is a very high-stakes TV show.
Oh, so high-stakes.
Yeah, because the funniest thing about Duel Monsters is that they never, like, specify why Duel Monsters is so prevalent, like, at all. But basically, it seems like people can make a profession out of being duelists.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no other profession that exists. Like, I don't even know if they have doctors. Like, they definitely don't have lawyers, because...
Because, I mean, someone would get sued for ripping out someone's eye out.
Absolutely, every single game. No, I am pretty sure the only professions are duelists and bodyguards of duelists.
Oh, but there's also doctors, because remember Joey's sister gets her eyes fixed?
Oh, yeah! Oh, my God. Should we even talk about Serenity?
No, she's as useless as Taya.
I like Serenity because the only part I like about Serenity is that Mai becomes friends with her. While still hating Joey.
You know, because you can do both. I'm a multitasker.
I'll just segue right into talking about my Valentine now, because I feel like we're talking about the friends/foes.
Yes.
Which there are several of them in Yu-Gi-Oh!, which I actually love. That, like, they have... It's not even that they have complex villains. It's just that they have a lot of villains that, like, also then become their friends eventually.
Yeah.
Which is a trope that I really enjoy. Duke Devlin is also among that.
Oh, Duke Devlin. Loved him.
He's extra, but...
He is so extra.
My Valentine is just... One of my, I think she might be my favorite character in the entire series, which is saying a lot.
I mean, understandable. She does have a great wardrobe.
She has an amazing wardrobe. She shows up and is just immediately a fucking bitch for no reason. She's just like, I'm the baddest bitch, even though she doesn't win that many duels, which is like so
No,
upsetting.
Actually... Even more ridiculous than that, no, it's... Mai actually has one of the highest win ratios.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You remember how she goes through Duelist Kingdom? She literally beats every single person she encounters. And yet, whenever she's up against one of those morons, she loses.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just like Joey bullshit. Wheeler.
I know, it's just like, that is like pure bullshit.
Yeah, no, she is a character that injustice is like constantly done to.
Yeah, I think she's ranked as one of like, I think she's the highest ranking duelists.
She is, like, canonically, but she just doesn't get her chance to do anything because the fucking men are just like, oh.
I have to win because I'm the main character and the main character's best friend.
And the main character's best asshole stupid friend. no, I love Joey. And I actually, segueing a little bit into do I ship this, I do actually love Maya and Joey. I love their little,
I think
little
they're a
journey
great pairing.
Together.
They're a great pairing.
They are, because I think I have a bit of a soft spot for the whole, like, idiot guy, tough girl. Like we were talking about with Futurama, where, like, Leela and Fry kind of...
Yeah.
That sort of trope.
It's a good trope. I like it.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
It's better than, like, fat guy, skinny wife.
Definitely. But... I think they're the only hetero ship that I enjoy on Yu-Gi-Oh! Because the rest of them
are nonsense.
Well, every single other character is gay, so.
True. They're actually all rather queer coded.
Especially the villains, which we'll definitely get into.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I love her. I love that she, like, keeps coming back. Like, she kind of seems, like, in the first season, like, she's just going to be, like, a one-off, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But she comes back. She's in all of the seasons, I believe.
Yeah. Because she much toes that line between friend and foe.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she is their friend, but she, like, they come to have, like, a healthy competition with her, but she, like, helps them out a lot.
Yeah.
She also just, like, goes off and does her own thing all the time, which is why I definitely love her.
Yeah. She's just like, this is nothing to do with me. Bye.
She completely removes herself from all of the, like, ancient Egyptian bullshit.
Yeah. Because it had nothing to do with her.
Literally. Somebody, Merrick, maybe, traps her in, like, in the spirit world or something at some point. I don't remember. But, yeah, other than that, she kind of is just like, anyway, I have, like, stuff to do. Bye.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like that they did with Mai is at some point they changed her voice actor for the American version. And then her voice changed to something really weird. It, like her accent started to be similar to Joey's.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
It's, like, in some of the latter part of this. Like, of the Duel Monsters main series. It's just so weird. I'm like, what
the... Well, they changed Tristan, for sure. He goes from, like, sounding like Barney the Dinosaur in the first couple of episodes to, like, a normal person.
They might have just told them to cut the Barney out. They're like, hey, bruh, stop with the Barney. I know we said four kids, but we didn't mean that.
We didn't mean literal children's television. This is for tweens.
So I get, we've really just been talking about the characters. We haven't been talking about the story.
Well, what is there to say?
Well, yeah, it is kind of hard to piece together after a while, but...
There's just so much that happens that is, like, irrelevant to the actual storyline of an ancient Egyptian pharaoh coming back to life.
Yeah.
Which is, like, such a cool concept. And like when I was a youth watching this, it definitely sparked my interest in ancient Egyptian culture, which like is still something I'm interested in today.
Yeah,
I think that like that whole, it's actually like really a very cool concept, but they kind of just take it and like really just jam a fork in there.
Yeah, which is, yeah. I guess we, like, I'll talk a little bit about, like, kind of how this, like, at least how they get to Dula's kingdom, sort of. Mm-hmm. Because it also segues into me talking about my favorite character, which is Kaiba.
Kaiba is definitely one of my faves as well. He's too good.
Yes, he's my favorite. I think he's, like, my favorite anime antagonist I've ever encountered.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, I mean, he definitely is an antagonist, but he also kind of toes the line between ally and foe a lot, because
he is not a friend to them at all. He would, no, the most you could say is, the most you could say is ally.
No, he goes out of his way many, many times to clarify how not much of a friend he is to them.
Yes.
But I feel like they're always up against a bigger antagonist, and so he kind of like just repeatedly has to begrudgingly be on their side.
Yes. Absolutely.
Even though he hates them, which is like my favorite trope of all time.
He's like, I don't want to be here, but here I am.
Oh my god. But yeah, anyway, go ahead. Kingdom.
So, in the first episode, we meet Kaiba, and it's because Kaiba is a very wealthy duelist who is...
First of all, he is 15, and he is a CEO.
Yes. Why, I cannot recall. I think he was adopted, and I think his parents died or something. I don't know.
His dad, yeah.
But he is, like, the top duelist in the world, or the country, one of the two. But he...
Is he?
Yeah, he's, like, the top duelist.
Okay.
And it's because he has the blue eyes...
I know he was one of them, but, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's, like, the top duelist because he has the blue eyes white dragon.
And right.
There's only this specific card... There are only four of them that were ever printed, and mm-hmm. Kaiba has three. And he duels Yugi's grandfather, Solomon Moto, for the fourth one.
And oh my god, we didn't even talk about Solomon.
I mean, what do you say about him aside from he's just short and owns a GameStop?
He's old. He's such a classic derpy anime granddad.
Yeah. But he owns the fourth Blue Eyes White Dragon, mm-hmm. and Kaiba duels him so that he can get possession of it, and once he does...
Literally hospitalizes.
He does. He literally wins against his grand, like, against Solomon, and he basically has a heart attack.
And, like, I think my favorite thing about Kaiba as a character is, like, you know who he is immediately. He just puts an old man in the hospital and doesn't give a fuck.
No, he keeps it pushing. He takes the card and then he rips it up because he's just like, he's like, I just didn't want there to be another Blue Eyes out there. I have three of them. That's enough.
Oh.
Because you can only have three of the same monster in your deck. That is why. And because now Kaiba...
Is that really a rule?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't even know.
And because Kaiba owns all of them now, he just rips the fourth one up so that no one can ever have it and corners the market on it. He is now the only duelist in the world who owns the Blue Eyes White Dragon. And he delivers one of my favorite lines in the entirety of anything I've ever watched. Your deck is as feeble as your grandpa. Which was... It is literally beautiful. It's
iconic.
Because you, like you said, you clearly get from that that he does not care about anything. He's like, I...
There are literally tears in my eyes as we're talking about this. I feel like I just keep gasping because I'm laughing so hard. But this is a real character. He's just so good. He's so good.
Yes. But the greatest part about the very first episode is after that happens, Yugi goes and is like, I'm going to battle Kaiba, and beats him with this monster called Exodia, who you, like, it's very hard to get Exodia because you have to get all five pieces of the card and then summon them all at the same time. And then once you do that, you automatically win the game.
Like, basically.
Yeah. And when he
does... Somehow Yugi just... This just happens to him because he's Yugi.
Yes. And he's literally the luckiest person on the goddamn planet. And...
Pretty much.
After he beats Kaiba, who... I don't know. Like, has a psychotic break after this. Kaiba literally does not know who he is. He, like, wanders... Basically wanders around, like... Who am I now? I've lost at Duel Monsters. He has a full-on existential crisis. And right after that, that's where the Duelist Kingdom arc comes in, where duelists from around the globe are welcome to Pegasus's Island, where they will compete in a grand tournée for... I can't even remember. What is Pegasus offering them? He offers them something.
I don't even know. Money, I guess.
I think it's like money or something.
Money and fame. He's just mega wealthy. But let's not skip over the fact that after Yugi's grandfather is hospitalized by Kaiba, he's fine. He is fine. But then Pegasus steals his soul.
Oh, true.
? And puts it on a videotape. The ring style, and sends it to Yugi to get him to compete in this tournament.
That is true. I totally forgot about that.
Like, I mean, because the thing is, it's like, they just had to raise the stakes. They were like, oh no, it can't just be that Yugi's a good duelist and he wants to compete in this tournament. No, no, no. His grandfather's life has to be on the line again.
Yes. And that's pretty much the reason why, like, Kaiba also enters this tournament, not for fame or anything, because he's already hella wealthy and well-known. He enters the tournament so that he can defeat Yugi, and...
He's just obsessed with Yugi.
Yeah. Right after that, he becomes obsessed with him. Like, if Kaiba could shoot him dead, he would have.
Yep.
But
there are no guns, so...
There are no guns in this world.
Only playing cards.
Which is actually on par with Japan, because it's actually really hard to get a gun there, apparently.
Oh, well, good for them.
Yeah, they have very strict gun laws. Unlike some places...
Looks at America.
Becomes a political podcast.
Hi guys, welcome to
Politico.
Welcome to Pod Save America.
Is that a real podcast?
That's a real podcast. That was like an in podcast joke. Okay. I'm a nerd. But Pegasus is also a great villain, because he really is just doing it for the drama. I mean, he definitely wants... Doesn't he know somehow that Yugi has the Millennium Puzzle?
Yeah, so I can't remember how he knows, but he, like, learns that he has the Millennium Puzzle, and because of that, wants him to compete in the tournament so that he can, like... Because the only way that you technically can get a Millennium item from someone is to best them so that you can, like... gain possession of it.
Mm-hmm. Either murder them or win a card game.
Yeah. Basically. But, I mean, Bakura did win his laser battle before he ripped his eye out.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there you go. Bakura is the exception.
Oh, yeah, because he just doesn't care.
He doesn't. I mean, he...
His character functions outside of the rules.
He really does. Like most of the characters, because what are the rules?
Yes. So
but I feel like Pegasus is low-key just doing it for the drama.
Yes. He definitely does. Pegasus basically just does everything for the drama. He's
camp. He's like the definition of camp.
Yes. He's clearly a campy homosexual who lives for the drama, but they make him into like something else. He's like this grieving genius who like whatever. Like, his wife died or some BS, and I'm like...
Yeah, he's, like, technically straight.
Yeah, I was just like, y'all could have made that his sister, and it would have equally... It would have been, like, the same storyline.
Yeah, well, they already had Joey's sister storyline, so...
Yeah, and, you know, as you know...
You can't have multiple sibling storylines.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in Japan, you can only have one sibling.
Yep, it's true. You can only... One sibling per anime. Sorry. Yeah.
That's it. Sorry.
So yeah, no, I love Pegasus as a villain. He's a great, like, season one villain. He's a great, like, starter villain.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially
considering... Although I often forget that he is a villain.
It's because he doesn't have a lot of the tendencies that you expect from a villain, because he doesn't have, like, some kind of nefarious endgame. He's just doing it for the drama.
Yeah, and the Millennium Items.
Yeah, I don't even remember what... Like, I think he was just trying to collect all the Millennium Items so that he could bring his dead
wife... Bring his wife back, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, his wife who exploded.
Yeah, because, you know, you can just bring those kinds of people back, apparently.
If you watch it, it's like she just kind of explodes. I don't know, there's like a... It's... They, like, of course can't show her actually dying, so it's just, like, a weird thing where he's having a dream and she just, like, explodes into flower
mouth. More censorship.
God. Anyway.
No one worked harder than four kids.
Nope.
They worked so hard to try and, like, make that PG.
Pretty much.
Those poor animators. So, yeah, I mean, the Duelist Kingdom arc is the first... It's the first one, and it's fun, but it's not the best arc. The best arc is definitely Domino City, which is directly after.
And also just kind of the same thing, but in a different setting. It's, like, still a duelist competition, except that Kaiba is running it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun time, but with that one, there's way more drama. Way more drama, way more homosexuals.
Well, because Merrick enters the picture, and you just can't get any gayer than Merrick.
That is true. But honestly, at this point, I feel like we're going to have to save Domino City for the next time we talk about Yu-Gi-Oh! We're going to have to do 5 segments so we can talk about
series. Oh my god. We haven't even seen the whole series.
Well, I've only seen up to like maybe the end of the third season.
Yeah, same.
Before, I haven't rewatching it as an adult, I've only seen up to like the end of the second. I've only seen the end of the second season.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely gets like convoluted, and there's like a lot of like filler, like weird filler stuff that just starts happening. Like, I'm pretty sure at some point they go to like a virtual reality world.
And it's just like, that's the end of season one, I believe. Like, at the end of season one, it's like right after Duelist Kingdom. And like,
no, there's like a whole other thing. I know what you're talking about, but there's like definitely a whole other thing in like season 4 or something.
I feel like I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But I can't put my finger on what that is.
Yeah.
But I know that the virtual reality thing, that's definitely at the end of, like, season one, because I remember Kaiba was trying to perfect, like, a virtual reality thing, and then it, like, he ended up getting trapped there or something, and then...
Yeah. And then there's like a weird, creepy Mokuba princess.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't peg whether... The thing with Mokuba is he's like a little boy, but he definitely seems like a little girl very often.
Yeah, but he's 100% a boy. And for Kaiba to just create this character that was like his brother in a dress, I just... Kaiba, what are you doing, man?
I mean, there's a lot of therapy there.
I mean, I know they're both adopted, but no.
Well, that's the thing that I was never explicitly clear on, because I know that Kaiba was adopted, but I wasn't sure if Mokuba was also adopted, or if Mokuba was his biological brother who wasn't adopted with him at first.
No, I think that they grew up in an orphanage together, and then when Kaiba got adopted,
they got separated?
Actually, I don't know.
I feel like there was a point where they got separated.
I think that they got adopted together.
I don't know.
But they're definitely not biologically...
related.
Mokuba's the only tan person in the whole show, except for the actual Egyptians.
Oh no, there's also what's his face, the fish guy, but it's because
the fish guy.
I think his name's like Maki or Mako or something like that.
Mako Tsunami.
Yeah, that's what it was. Mako Tsunami. Because all of their names have to deal with what their thing is, like Bandit Keith. Well, except for Bandit Keith. Who is...
But he's a bandit.
Yeah. And he's also American.
He's...
Bandit Keith is my favorite of all of those. Like, he's definitely, like, out of the entire series, he's the most fuckable out of all of them.
All right. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Here we go. Well, it's not an episode if we don't have the segment, Chad, Love Yourself.
Honestly, I always loved the like one-off characters. Like I love isn't it Bandicoot's henchmen? Like one is like a little ghoul boy. Like
yeah, but I can't. I was trying to remember his name, but I can't. It's like something Bones. That's his name, Bones.
Bones.
And he's a zombie duelist. And then there's Rex. Yes. Rex Raptor. Who's the dinosaur dude? Weevil Underwood, who's the...
Rex and Weevil, who were, like, you know, the it couple of the...
basically.
Duelist villains.
They really were. Even though Weevil was the frickin' worst.
Yeah.
He literally just threw Yugi's Exodia cards off of a boat while they were heading to Duelist Kingdom. He was just like, oh, can I see your Exodia cards? And he was like... Sure, because Yugi's a dumbass. Yugi is literally, like, here's
he's
the
thing. So dumb.
All right, we have to establish the difference between Yugi and Yami right now. Yugi is stupid. He's really stupid. He's very trusting and earnest and stuff, which, you know, in my book makes him a sucker. And then Yami is way more, like, weirdly, he's like an ancient pharaoh, but he has, like, way more street smarts than, like... Frickin' Yugi, who lives in the modern
teenager.
Age. Yeah. So it don't that don't make no sense. And then
I mean, Yami has just seen some shit, you know? He's just been through some
He's seen some all things. The shit.
He doesn't even know his own goddamn name.
he doesn't. That's how much shit he's seen. He's that traumatized. Oh, that's also a plot point that Yami's true past is like locked somewhere within the Millennium Puzzle away from him, and he spent like, and when he's not outside with Yugi, he's inside the puzzle wandering a maze looking for his memories.
Amazing.
I know. I mean, this show is a true gem. Like it seems ridiculous because I'm sure that most people, I feel like the stigma that comes with it is like most people remember it from their childhood being a certain way, but I'm like, if you watch it and like follow the through lines outside of the dueling, it's just ridiculous. But the dueling is really what sets it over the edge, in my opinion.
Well, so the thing is, like, a little bit, because the duels last like 3 or 4 episodes, much like how in Dragon Ball Z, how the fights would last like 4 episodes, and it would just be like a fight for 4 episodes, and like nothing else would happen. But like, if you can kind of like, you don't have to watch that. Like, you can just kind of skip over that. It doesn't matter. It's just like, who won the duel?
I was watching it. I remember I was watching it one New Year's, and I was like kind of hungover and like passed out, and it was just like playing, and I woke up and I had already missed like 5 episodes and basically missed nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, Grace is breaking up on me. I think you broke up on me.
I did. Commercial break.
Yeah, this is a brief commercial break. Sorry, everyone.
Brief break in which I just randomly... No, I tried to send a text, and it was just like, fuck you.
Well, lesson learned.
Yeah, right? No text sending for me. Yeah. Anyway. but yeah, I feel like... Yeah, I feel like you can just literally just skip over all the dueling. It doesn't matter. It you know, it's just 3 episodes of bullshit and then whatever.
Yeah. But it's still quite a fun ride, so if you're willing to just like do that because you've got some free time. I mean, even if you're just like gonna leisurely watch it, you can just watch like a couple episodes here and there and like slowly make your way through it.
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, I don't really watch the duels, but there's so many, like, hilarious things that happen in between that it's just worth it to me.
Yeah, there's like, a lot
those
of...
Those are the parts that make it worth it.
There's a lot of really funny one-liners in there that are, like, I feel are worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think there's anything else specific, because this episode is definitely just Duelist Kingdom / Intro to Yu-Gi-Oh!
Well, yeah, welcome to Intro to Yu-Gi-Oh! 101.
Absolutely.
I mean, we can definitely talk about the villains, because the protagonists are kind of boring. I mean, for as much as I love Yami, he's... also just kind of boring. He just kind of wanders around in his mind maze and
yeah,
pops up every now and then and is like, I'm gonna win a duel now. It's like, all right, you do that. And the villains are so much more fun.
Yeah, I think the only villain that establishes himself as like the long-term villain is Bakura, because yeah. Of
oh,
how...
he is playing the long game. He is 100%. He is playing the longest game.
I think he says that, like, a few times when he just, like, disappears and be like, I'll be back. I always come back. Or something like that. And it's just like, okay.
And he does. And he does.
Yes. That's the funny thing, is, like, no matter how many times Bakura gets possessed and does crazy shit around them, they're just like, oh, it's okay. I would be
it's
like,
just Bakura.
I would be like, stay away from me.
Aw, but he's so cute.
When he's not possessed.
Yeah, well.
Which seems to be almost always. And the thing is you never can tell when he's not possessed. Because he'll like, when he's possessed, the evil Bakura will pretend to be other Bakura.
Oh, yeah, he's way too smart, like, for any of them.
Yeah. So they never know what's going on. Like, I remember in Domino City, he was like, they thought he was just, like, chilling around, and he was like, I've been possessed the whole time!
Pretty much. No, that happens in the first season, too, when you first meet him. He's like, oh, hey guys, let's play a card game! And then all of a sudden, they're all trapped in this shadow.
That is true. Yeah, well.
He's my fave. But he's like, he does really kind of do nothing for a while, I feel like. Like, he really just kind of hides out until he has to rip someone's eyeball out.
The long con, everyone. The long con.
Really, literally the long con. He's been at it for thousands of years.
Yeah. Because they never explicitly say how long he's been out and about. 'Cause
Yeah, so I think the story is that Bakura, real Bakura, is like, his dad is an archaeologist, as we established, and his dad was in Egypt and got the Millennium Ring somehow and gave it to him. Right? Am I right?
yeah, I think he got it from like a bazaar or something.
I
Like a
just remember,
street
like,
bazaar.
yeah, like there was like a flashback, and his dad has blue hair. I don't quite remember, but I'm pretty sure that's how he gets the Millennium Ring.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of similar to Yugi, where it was like gifted to him.
Yeah. But, that's just Bakura from school.
It's just Bakura from school.
I can't even think of any other particular villains outside of Merrick,
Well,
but
Merrick.
I don't want to get into Merrick because there's just so much to unpack there.
He's my fave. I know I keep saying that. I love that he
Wears a crop
brings,
top.
first of all, is wearing a crop hoodie, like a sleeveless crop hoodie. Second of all, jewelry. I love that he just brings his family drama. Like, he's not only there to like be a villain, he fully brings all his entire family history drama with him.
As one does.
Which is just gay culture at its finest.
That's so sad. Alexa, play Despacito.
Play Despacito. Do not have your Alexa start playing shit.
Oh God, I think Alexa is actually playing Despacito. I can't
Yep, I
stop.
can
I
hear it.
can't stop her. Alexa, stop.
All right.
That was a funny one.
The things we do for memes.
Well, I feel like that is a good, concise place to drop off for Yu-Gi-Oh!
God, are we gonna have a part two of this?
Absolutely. At
I don't know
least
if our listeners can take it.
one other part where we talk about Domino City, because that's the part with the Egyptian gods, and there's just so much to unpack there.
Yeah, maybe we'll actually watch more of it in between, and we'll get some insight into
Yeah.
the later seasons. I mean, I think we can just fully skip some parts, and then
Oh, you mean
maybe we
like
could just,
the Seal of Orichalcos arc? That is
yes.
I don't even know what to do. I think there's like some Atlantean dude or something. He's like, I'm from
Yep,
Atlantis.
literally they live in Atlantis. And that is their villainous headquarters.
Talk about more queer-coded villains.
Oh my God.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Anyway, see, the hard thing here is I don't know if I can recommend this.
I don't really even know if we have to. I know that if you don't want to watch it, there is a great YouTube series called Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged.
Oh, you should definitely watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, no matter who you are and how you feel about Yu-Gi-Oh! Or anime in general. You should definitely watch some Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged. It's a classic.
It sums everything up quite nicely.
It really does. But if you're up for a ride, please watch the actual Forked series. It is on both Netflix and Hulu.
Yes, all five seasons.
In its entirety, yeah.
I'm so glad that they did that.
I am as well. I'm glad they've blessed us with, you know, either option.
Yeah, because, I mean, I do still have to go and watch or finish watching Yu-Gi-Oh! GX.
Oh, yeah, I love GX. I can talk about GX next time as well.
That also feels like a separate episode.
It's a good time. There's so much to say about it. I actually legitimately watched it in middle school. It was a good time. It's, like, actually a little bit, like, they realize how ridiculous they are with the, like, dub and everything, and they really actually get into it. It's very good.
Loves it.
Yeah.
So, next episode, what are we going to do?
Stay tuned. It's a mystery.
Yeah, at this point is just a full on mystery. We want to create an air of mystery now that we've gotten you hooked on our series.
Yeah. Ooh.
We're going off book. Just wait for it.
Yeah, we have a lot
on
the table. We'll see.
Yeah. So, you know, as always, thanks for listening. Come on back.
Comment, rate, and subscribe.
Follow us on the Twitter at It's 2 a.m.
It's 2 a.m.
Oh, that's true. You're right. It's 2 a.m. My bad.
I know stuff.
As the person who, you know, doesn't actually run the Twitter.
Yep.
And yet, here I am. Don't know our own Twitter handle. My bad.
Love it. If you're anyone who's ever worked at 4Kids, tweet at us.
Please do. So many questions.
I would love to interview somebody who, like, specifically worked on that dub. Let's get Eric Stewart in here.
Tell us why.
And just in shake here, him. I say, like, we're in the same place.
Yeah, just, like, shake him vigorously. Why?
Tell us why! But yeah, no, tune in next time for a special surprise topic episode.
I like how you make it sound like it's just next episode.
Yeah.
Just next episode. It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.